Fathers, we're just so glad that you're here. Where are the dads at? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah. And new dads, I don't have to tell them to raise their hands because they're easy to spot. They're a little shell-shocked, a little disheveled, tired, but very proud to hold their babies, right? What makes a dad? You know, there's all kinds of things that make up anatomy of a dad. You know, dad joke manufactured. The Lego finders, that's one of the worst parts of a dad, but that's definitely part of a dad. There's so much being a dad, and I just want to say thank you for all that you do as dads. I love the dad body, by the way. That's a good one. Let me just move on, though. One of the greatest images in Scripture is about God as a father. When Jesus actually taught his disciples how to pray, how did he start it? Our Father who is in heaven, right? Why would he use the image of a father? Well, when you think of the duties of a father, provides, protects, teaches, nurtures, mentors, loves, these are qualities of God. And the difference I like in the scripture, our Father who is in heaven, is the heaven part, because that is a descriptive word that's explaining God as he is, who is perfect. Heaven is perfect, so God is perfect. He's our perfect Father. Well, so when Jesus teaches us to pray, he's telling us to remember who you're talking to. He's perfect, and he's loving, and he has your back. Isn't that good? You know, so that's why he teaches us to pray. Heavenly Father, because it's a reminder of who he is, his character. Now, as we all know, our human fathers are not perfect. They've made many mistakes, but they're human, so that's expected. The problem is, and maybe for you, you have a hard time with the imagery of Father God, because maybe your father didn't match up to those descriptions that we mentioned earlier. But I just want to encourage you, we need to not take maybe some of our negative experiences and project that from our own earthly fathers onto the Heavenly Father. Again, that's why I love the description of God having these qualities perfectly. He is the perfect, loving Father. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Isn't that good? His love is lavished on us. One of my favorite stories that Jesus told is the story of the prodigal son. If you know the story, you have this son who takes his inheritance before his dad is even dead. He takes the inheritance and goes off to a foreign country and squanders it on selfish living until eventually he has nothing left and he's doing terrible. And he figures, oh, you know, I'm in such a bad place. Going home would be better than, you know, being a slave in my dad's house would be better, because he's not going to want me to be his son anymore because of what I've done. So being a slave would be better than where I'm at, because he was basically living in a pig pen. And so he goes back home. And I love, again, this picture of the father, because the father's been longing to see his son. And so the father is outside and he sees his son in the distance and he runs to him and he embraces him and he kisses him and he brings him inside and he cleans him up and gives him new clothes and puts a nice ring on his finger. He says, "We're going to have a feast because my son who was lost has now been found." Isn't that a great story? I love it. That is a description. That is the imagery that we have for Father God. He is our Heavenly Father, and he loves his children. He loves us. So with that in mind, that is going to be my topic today. Love, which is the Jesus way. You know, it's how followers of Jesus should be. It's what the churches should be about. It's the way of love. This is actually my last time officially speaking as a staff member here at the church. So I'm going to kind of say whatever I want because you can't fire me anyhow. But no, just kidding. Finally, I'll say whatever I want with the idea of love. How's that? If you don't know what we're doing, we are actually on our way to Montreal, and we are in our own way trying to follow the Jesus way. We feel the call of Jesus to go and share the love of God in different areas of the city there where maybe the gospel doesn't have as much influence. And so this is what we're doing. We're doing our best to follow the call of God. But let's talk about the God of love. And the Jesus way. The Jesus way is the way of love. Love is the prime characteristic of God. Let that sink in for a second. It is the prime characteristic of who God is. 1 John 4:16 says this, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Psalm 86:15 says, you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He is full of love. And I don't mean this hippy-dippy, whoo, love, love. I mean like a real deep love. When you have real deep love for somebody that's willing to give, that's his kind of love. He's so full of love that he came to be among his creation, to live a life that exuded love and to die because of love. This is the Jesus way. Everything he did came from a motivation of love, a perfect love, a God love. Unfortunately, today, love has kind of lost its meaning, right? You know, there's a story. There's a rabbi. His name was Abraham Tversky, and he tells this story. He says, you know, one day there's an older gentleman, and he's walking along the beach, and as he's walking along, he comes across this young man who's got a grill, and he's cooking up some fish that he just caught. So he's there, and the old man stops, and he looks at the little young man. The young man seems to be, he's got some fish on the grill, and he's eating some fish, enjoying it, and the old man says, so what are you doing? And the young man says, oh, I'm eating fish. Oh, why are you doing that? Because I love fish. Oh, you love fish, do you? That's why you took it out of the water, killed it, and now are barbecuing it. You love the fish, right? You love the fish so much that you did this to it. That's not what love is. You love yourself. Because you love yourself, that's why you took the fish out of the water, you killed it, you grilled it, and are now eating it. So you don't love the fish, you love what the fish does for you. Does that make sense? And a lot of times that is what we have in our world today, and that's what we have portrayed by the media. It's a fish love. We love for our own benefit, right? You know, think about a couple. Young couple gets together and they fall in love. I'm not trying to get on young couples for getting in love and falling in love. But a lot of times, if you meet young couples that are falling in love, what is their love based on? What are they looking for? You know, if you're single, what are you looking for? You're typically looking for someone to love. And what does that mean? I'm looking for someone to fulfill my physical and emotional needs. Right? That's a typical way of our world of thinking. I'm looking for someone to love, someone that will fulfill my physical and emotional needs. That's fish love. That's not true love. You see, true love is not about myself. It's about the other. Fish love is just, you're a vehicle for my self-gratification. True love is not about what I'm going to get, but what am I going to give? And that is what Jesus is all about. That is the Jesus way. And for us here who are followers of Jesus, now I've been part of this church for 4 years, and I've been following Jesus for a lot longer. But my desire is that we get away from fish love. The Jesus way is not the fish way. The Jesus way is self-sacrificing. It's giving. You see, Jesus lived his life giving to the broken. He had compassion on the hurting. He healed the sick. He set the oppressed free. He gave his life to help people. His love was so great that he actually gave his own personal life for our redemption. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says this. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. True love is about giving, not receiving. And Jesus gave so that we might receive. John 3:16, most famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves you and me. He loves us. If we could just grasp a hold of this is what our faith is about. Our faith is not about religious practices. Our faith is not about right theology. Our faith is about a God who loves you and you and you and you and you and me. He loves us. That is the beginning of where our faith comes from. It's the way of true love, the Jesus way. It's not about duties to fulfill or moralistic lifestyles. You know, you can't be good enough for God. Did you know that? He's perfect. I know I ain't. And I've got a pretty good hunch that you're not either. So we can't meet up to his perfection. But you know what? He's not asking for that. He's not asking for you to meet up to a perfect set of moralistic lifestyles and ideas. But he gives to us his love, and he wants us just to simply receive it. This is why it's called the gospel, the good news. Too often, it's not good news to people because they think, well, but I have to do something. You can't do anything to match up. It is just the Jesus way. It's good news. It is. You know, I could kind of go on and try to explain it, but I just want you to get it. Real simple terms. It's good news because he loves you just for who you are. There's nothing you could ever do that would make God love you any more or any less. He simply loves you. But shouldn't I be doing this and this and this? Yeah, it doesn't hurt to do those things, but that doesn't change his love for you. He simply loves you. No strings attached. And some of you need to hear that today. Some of you have been struggling with your faith for a long time because you're feeling you're just not good enough. And guess what? Let me just enlighten you. You will never be good enough, and that's okay. Because his love is not based on your goodness. It's based on his goodness. He loves you. So we need to receive that because Jesus has provided the way. Now, for those of us who've received it, we need to also remember this part. As Jesus came to earth to love, he also sends us, his followers, out in the same way. John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We are called to follow the Jesus way ourselves, the way of radical generosity, humble service, compassionate help, authentic forgiveness, selfless love. So he tells us to share this love with others, to go and make disciples. Now, let me state a simple but important point here. To love people is not to get converts. To truly love people is not about getting converts to the Christian doctrine. To truly love people, it's the desire to introduce them to a loving God who wants them to encounter Jesus. Sometimes in church, we've either gone on our mission. Yeah, we're gonna bring people into the church because, you know, they need to be part of us. That's not the reason. Because that's not really love. That's, again, fish love. It's what's good for us. We get the, ha-ha, we're better, we're bigger, we're, look what I did. No, he calls us to love people. to actually love them. You see, the reason why I go and share my faith with people is not because I want them to join the church. It's because I've experienced something incredible. I've experienced the love of God in my life. And I just want other people to experience the same thing. It's good news, right? It's good news. Again, Jesus is not about religious forms, structures, or theology. The Jesus way has transformed the world. The Jesus way has transformed me. And it's all about love. Now, if we look to where Jesus, how Jesus talked about the important things in life, we can find it in the Great Command, which is found in Matthew 22, verses 37 down to 40. It says this. Jesus replied, this is now, he was just asked a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This is some guy who was asking the question because he wanted to really kind of see if he could trap Jesus in something that he said. And so Jesus replies this. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all of the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So the first thing he says is love God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. This is, just so you know, a little background. In Deuteronomy, this is where this first came up, and it's called the Shema. It is something that Jewish people who follow the Jewish faith follow, and they proclaim the Shema, love God with everything you've got. So this is supposed to be a love that captures our emotions, dominates our thoughts, and directs our actions. Think about that. Our love for God should, this is kind of convicting for me, so maybe for some of you too. Our love for God should capture our emotions, should dominate our thoughts, and should direct our actions. Love God with everything. The second part is found in Leviticus chapter 19 and says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love others as ourselves. Not a self, not a fish kind of love where it's like, oh, it's all about me and what I can get out of it. It's not about self-gratification. And he goes on with the first commandment. He joins us with the first commandment because to love God is evidenced by our love for other people. So if we truly love God, it will be evidenced by how we love others. Such as a simple example, you know, if you want to use an example of how we love, for me to say I love my wife is one thing. For me to act and show her love, that's a whole nother thing. Does that make sense? In the same way how we can say we love God, but it really is evidenced by what we do with our lives. And I love the last part, though, too, where it says that these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, fulfill every part of the law. All those rules and regulations are actually unimportant if you're loving. It fulfills every part of the law. You see, God desires for us, and he desires from us this love that is based on these two commandments. Love is truly all we need when it comes to faith. So again, just let me share with you from Cal to you. Let's pretend we're having a personal chat here. Okay? My desire for my life, my desire for your life is that you grow in a life lived with love. You know, the gospel is not complex. It's not necessarily easy, but it's not complex. He calls us to love. And some of you today might be going, wow, this Jesus way, you know, I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what to think of it. And maybe you've never actually had an experience or an encounter with Jesus. And today I just want to say, if that's you, I believe you're missing out. because I believe it's the best path in the world, the Jesus way. When we look at how he lived his life, when you look what he stood for, boy, what a better world we would have if we would do that, right? If we all would just kind of say, okay, I've let the Jesus life affect me. Now let me take that to the world. Again, our world is really kind of comes down on the church because they're always talking about religion and how, oh, the religious, they're the ones who cause all the wars. They're the ones that are always the problems. But you have to understand, religion is not the Jesus way. Again, it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about having right theology. It's the way of love. Love makes the world a better place. And I want us to be a church that's not just aligned with a doctrine, but a church that's known because we follow the Jesus way. What does the scripture say? It says, they will know that they are my followers by their love. It is the Jesus way. So again, this morning, if you are in a place and you're going like, yeah, I don't know. Or you may be feeling a bit of a tug and it's like, okay, this sounds interesting. First of all, I want to say what you need to do is you need to read about Jesus. There's four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that kind of talk about his life and his teachings. And if you've never read them, or if it's been a long time since you've read them, I say to you, please go back, read it again. Read about Jesus. I can't say enough of how it's transformed who I am and how I think and what I do with my life. You know, I just even think on the practical side, I'm leaving my precious little grandson to move to Montreal. Not because because I think, oh, Montreal's going to be a great city, cool, and you know, I love my little grandson. I really do. It's been a life changer for me in the last year or 6 months, and I'm going to miss him. It's a great thing that we have video chat these days, right? Thank Jesus for that. But I do it because I just really believe God's calling us. And again, for us, I don't mean just Christy and me. God's calling Christy and me, yes, to go to Montreal. But God is calling us to make his love known. Emmanuel needs to be a church that's known because of its love for people, its love for one another. If you have any issue with someone in this room today, you need to make it right. You need to follow the Jesus way. You need to forgive. And when we get out of these doors and we're, you know, maybe you've got a jerk of a neighbor, pray for him. Say, God, give me a love for that guy. Sometimes, again, with young adults, we were discussing recently about how sometimes people lash out and they're real jerks. And the reason why they're sometimes real jerks and they're lashing out is because they're actually in pain themselves. And they need someone to come along and say, and move past all their jerkishness, if that's a word, and just say, hey, I love you. Because that is the Jesus way, people. God is calling us, church, to be a light. He's calling us to be his hands and his feet in this community and in Montreal and beyond. He's calling us to walk his path, the Jesus way. Some of you may have been thinking, yeah, okay, that sounds good, but I just, you know, I kind of lost my passion for this walk, or I just don't have that excitement that I used to. Again, I want to encourage you, read about Jesus. Read about his life and then say, okay, Jesus, how can I allow that to infiltrate my heart and my mind so that I start to, little by little, walk that out and have that a part of who I am? This is the call of Jesus for us today. So on my last Sunday, of speaking, not my last Sunday, I'm here for a few more weeks, but my last Sunday speaking, if there's anything you can remember, I just would say this. Would you please walk the Jesus way? Could we together walk the Jesus way? Can we be together a people of love? Again, would you experience it yourself? If you've kind of let it kind of, you've been distracted by things of the world and you've kind of let it pass you by, get back in, focus again, because he loves you dearly. And then as we allow that to happen, then may we allow it to then flow out of us into the people around us. So again, let's choose to make the way of love, the Jesus way, a priority in our lives, once again, both personally and corporately as a church. Let's choose love. Let's choose the Jesus way. So Father, I thank you for my friends here at Emmanuel Church. And Lord, I believe you have wonderful, better things in store. And yes, we go through struggles. Yes, sometimes we're busybodies. Yes, sometimes we don't seem to care as much as we should. Yes, sometimes we fail in many ways, but it doesn't matter because you are a God of love and you forgive us. And you want to make us into new people. You want to change us. And so, Lord, even this morning, I pray that each one here would say, okay, I want to live the Jesus way because that's a good way to live. Lord, for those who don't know you or haven't encountered you yet, I pray that they would take some time to come and chat with me. Take some time to read the story of Jesus so they can encounter you in a deeper way. And Lord, for those who've already encountered you, but maybe they've kind of been distracted or gotten busy with life and have forgotten their first love, who is Jesus. And maybe we're walking our own way instead of the Jesus way. May not be necessarily a bad way, but it's just not the Jesus way. Lord, I pray that you would call us back. Call us back to your way. And may we learn to see people with a true love, not a fish love, not for what they can do for us, but Lord, how we can do something for them and bring life and goodness to their lives, whether it's through practical terms or introducing them to Jesus or whatever it looks like. Lord, may we walk the Jesus way. Pray this in your name. Amen.